because he is our King, the King of all kings. 32. Good morning. What a beautiful morning. Happy Labor Day weekend to all of you. All of you that are here, a lot that are probably camping and resting. Hopefully having their morning devotions, right? Yes. So, good to see you all. And it is a beautiful, beautiful morning. Some announcements that I have. Next Sunday is, of course, Sunday school kickoff. Praise the Lord. That means Sunday school starts at 9:15. We have three different adult classes and all the children's classes. So take advantage of those. Church at 10:30, praise music at 10:15. We'll have potluck dinner after church, so bring enough for your family and plenty to share. It's a good time of fellowship. We'll have some games for the children. We're supposed to have the barrel train here from the power show and some different things. So it'll be an exciting day. It always is. We also this Wednesday start confirmation classes. That's in the bulletin for those in that age group. We start our Fellowship of Christian Athletes this Wednesday night at the gym. That's for our 8th grade through 12th graders. And we're blessed to have it in our school gym. Other announcements there, please take time to read those as you have time to do so. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. And it is a beautiful morning. It is still and calm and the temperatures are nice and the sun is shining. And we thank you, Lord, for this Labor Day weekend, as we call it, a holiday tomorrow. Thank you for all that work so hard in our community, in this region, in our state, across our nation. There's plenty of jobs out there, plenty to do always. We pray, Lord, for those areas that are short, our health care for sure, that those that are well and able and to do it would and could. But Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the work that takes place that makes our nation thrive and succeed. But Father, we are here as we work for you, and help us to be busy about your kingdom's work. Lord Jesus, I'm reminded of the verses when you were at the with the woman at the well, and the disciples went to get food and came back with it, and Jesus said, my work is to do the will of the Father. And that is our number one work to do, Lord God, your work for your kingdom. And help us to always be mindful of sharing you, Jesus, with all that we come in contact with. So we thank you for this day. We can come and be filled afresh with your Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, as you move mightily among us here today, as you fill this sanctuary with your wonderful presence. For Lord Jesus and Lord God Almighty, you are the faithful one. Jesus, you can never deny yourself because that's who you are. And we sing of your faithfulness this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Number 139 will be our opening hymn. 139, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let's stand together, please.
Thank you.
Such a beautiful hymn. Take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you're seated. All right, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. A beautiful day, and I guess I'll start out saying, this one I had to practice, I'll just tell you. You might know before I finish, but Ann and I and Ken and Kathy Stepanik have some exciting news to announce. Caleb and Rachel is with child, our daughter, and yeah, praise the Lord. She is due in March, so she's 3 months along. Yes, it is. Amen. I didn't tear up. Okay. Some other announcements. For Pastor Andy Bieber over at Scotland, the Scotland Community Church, he's coming along. I had texted him this week, midweek, and of course, he has to take it easy with that open heart surgery and all, but he, all in all, he is improving on schedule. The prayer chain went this week for Jill Mettler. This would be Jeff and Linda Nuss's daughter, Jill. She's married to Matt, also from Minnow, and they live in the Twin Cities. She was diagnosed with endometrial cancer, so not sure all the course of treatment and what's happening yet. Okay, but still waiting on that. So we want to be praying for Jill and Matt and the family. Betty Hoff, she had shoulder replacement this last Tuesday and is coming along well with her nurse, Joanne Walter. God bless Joanne for taking care of her here in Menno. And Mike. Seen you out on the on your side-by-side a little more than usual. Anyway, and Diane Bent, this would be Devin Bent's mom. And I was, when we printed bulletins here, the plan was that she was going to get to come back to Viborg to the hospital and swing bed, and that changed then on Friday. So she is still at Sanford Hospital. She's had quite a tough go, Diane Bent. Otherwise, anything else that you might have over here? Dave,
pray for rain,
yes. Daily, yes, we pray for rain. Amen. Okay, over here. Yes, Trent.
Aunt Shirley
Mettler had a birthday last week. On the, forget what, yesterday. Yeah, I know I texted you, sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, happy birthday. Pat. Yeah. Yeah, continued prayers from Mary Lee Houck. She just is really having a tough go with her back, which affects the leg, and she's in a lot of pain. Surgery scheduled for September 20th. She's tried to get it moved up, but they've said they aren't able to with their schedule, so we pray for her. Is that Brantley? Granger's birthday. On September 8th. Yeah, he's going to be 1 year old. Granger Holsworth. Happy birthday to Granger. He's walking around all over the place. Okay. All right, let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you for this day again. A beautiful morning. We pray for these, Lord, Jill Mettler and Matt, a diagnosis that no one ever wants to hear. But that's now what she's been told. So we begin to stand in prayer for her and Matt and the family, Jeff and Linda, with all decisions that have to be made going forward with this endometrial cancer. We ask for guidance to the medical doctors. Lord, as always, we look first of all to you, our great physician. We pray your healing touch throughout her body and your strength for what lies ahead. We pray that for others who are going through chemo, Jan Nebelsek and others in our community who are in the midst of chemo. We just lift them all before your throne and thank you for carrying them. Lord, as you said to the children of Israel when they went through the desert, how I carried you on eagle's wings. And we pray that over these people each step of the way. We thank you for successful surgeries for Betty Holf and Pastor Andy Bieber is there in their recovery time. And we thank you that that continues to go well and be with their caregivers. And for Bill Headley as he continues to improve and goes for his dialysis. Thank you for strength to him and Judy as she in large part is his caregiver as well. We pray for Diane Bent, Lord. You know the details and all that's going on there. We just ask that you continue to surround her with your presence and your love as you hold her in your everlasting arms and let your healing power work through that leg. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for the exciting news of pregnancies and certainly with Rachel and Caleb, and there's others in our midst, Brittany Clute, who is due sometime later this month, and Kelsey Walter, her married name is Clark, Jai and Melanie's daughter Kelsey, also Ivory Winterstein, I know in our community, is with child, and we lift these up, Lord. Star Kasurik, too, that's right. As we think of Psalms 91, Lord, you speak so clearly as how you knit these little ones together in the womb, in that secret place, as only you can do. We thank you for watching over each of these ladies, whether it's their first or whether it's their third or whatever, that the pregnancies go well. We thank you for these things. Lord, we pray for our region here, the desperate need for rain. Lord, for the pastures, the ponds, the dugouts, the rivers, the trees, just all of your creation. What's in the fields, Lord? Thank you for guiding the farmers in decisions that were not expected, really, as we started this spring. But this is where we're at, that you lead them and guide them for what's best as they try to make their plans for what lies ahead. You are the one who is in control of all of this, Lord. And we need your life-giving rain, and we ask for it by faith. We thank you for it, that you are bringing it. For those people down in the south that have been experiencing just terrible flooding on the other side of the spectrum, we pray for them. As we ask for the life-giving rain, Lord, so we do for our nation. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Lord, we are in a drought in many ways spiritually across this nation, and we ask that you would live big in us, revive us. As was said last Sunday, Lord, let the revival start with us. Lord, that you just pour out your Spirit in incredible ways, that you work in people's hearts and minds who do not know you. We bind the powers of darkness that are so filled with deception, that's all they know, to try and blind people to the message of the gospel. But Lord, you are so much greater than that. And you can break the power of sin and darkness, and you have. And we thank you for what you're doing that we're not even aware of. Lord, for our troops, as always, we lift them up in prayer and ask for your hand of protection upon them, wherever they are serving, here at home or abroad, and be with their families as they're so often separated from one another. Give your angels charge over them, we ask. Thank you for all these things, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Acts 26, verse 18. This is Paul is recounting the time of his salvation, which is actually recorded in Acts chapter 9. But he's going back to that, and as what Jesus said to him when he knocked him off that horse on the road to Damascus. I'm sending you to them, Jesus speaking. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That was his mission to the Apostle Paul. That is his mission to and through every one of us. Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology together, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. And fathers, we give our offerings here and our tithes to your storehouse. We do it with joy because you are our source and our provider. You're the one who gives us strength to be able to have jobs. As we celebrate this Labor Day weekend, thank you for the employment that you do provide. And help us always to be diligent. And whoever we come in contact with, Lord, let the light of Christ shine through us. That as you told Paul, Lord, that people's eyes would be opened, that they would turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto you, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins. That is our prayer today in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith together before you through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Good morning, boys and girls. How y'all doing today? You get another day off tomorrow, right? That's nice. Yeah. Well, you know, we've been talking about the, who? Holy Spirit. And where does the Holy Spirit live? Inside of us, right, inside of us. And we have been learning, so we're just going to quickly review. First of all, we learn that the Holy Spirit is our helper. So whatever you need help in, he will help you. He's our counselor. We don't know which way to go to. We can ask him, and he can lead us to show us the way that's right and tell us the way that's wrong, right? We also have our, teddy bear reminds us of, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He comforts us and hugs us, and oh, we just love that. And then last week, we learned that the Holy Spirit is our, remember that word? Yeah, he's a counselor, but this reminds us of what? Praying. He's our intercessor. He goes to God, and he talks to God about us, our prayer requests, and then he helps us to pray for other people when we don't know how to pray. Today, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit as our standby. It tells us, write this in John chapter 14, verse 16, in the Amplified Version. Jesus said, when I go to heaven, I'm going to ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he will remain with us forever. You know what a standby is? Standby is like a person who's ready and waiting just to provide help for us or to take some kind of action, standing right by us. Someone who's there for emergencies, just ready to jump in there and help us out. You know, when I think of a standby, I think of, let me see here, where are they? I think of soldiers, people that are men and women that are in the military. Do you know that there are certain people that are in the Army or in the Guards or Navy or Air Force or whatever? They are standing by in case they would be called to be deployed. So they're always on standby, ready to go. Whenever their unit gets called to go overseas somewhere, to get deployed somewhere, to help somewhere, they are standing by. Do you ever call, what's this? 911. When do you call 911? When there's an emergency, you get on your phone and you call whether there could be a what? Somebody got hurt, fire, and then you hear this. Hold on. You hear that? You like that? You want me to do it again? Yeah. You hear that, and within minutes, somebody's there to help you with the emergency. They're standing by, firefighters, EMTs, men or women. How about people that are on call from the hospital, like your mom, right? She's on call sometimes. She has to be standing by in case she gets called to go there. Well, you know, all of these people are so wonderful. They're standing by to help. And that reminds me of the Holy Spirit. He is our standby. Anytime I need him, he's standing right by me. And you know what? Guess what? The Holy Spirit's a lot faster than the 911 people coming, right? Why is he faster? Because what? He's in us. He's with us. He's standing by us. 24/7. What does that mean? 24/7. All day, every day. I don't have to wait. I don't have to pick up my phone. He's right there with me all the time. And that is awesome, right? So whatever you need, he's there with you to help you. Emergencies, anything you need, whenever. You need him to be your comforter, your counselor, your advocate, your intercessor. He's standing by, okay? You just have to ask him. He's right there with you. So are we going to ask him to help us?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for giving us the Holy Spirit. Today we learned that he is our standby, standing by. God, you are standing by, ready to help us through the Holy Spirit. Anytime we need your help. Help us all to remember that, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, good or hard, that you are standing by, ready there to be with us. Help these boys and girls have a great day tomorrow and a good week at school or preschool or wherever they're at, daycare, and help them to be a blessing to others, to share with others that you, Holy Spirit, live inside of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get your papers.
Amen. Thank you, Anne. Great examples there. Let's sing 684 in your hymnal. 684. Precious Lord, take my hand. So you see there's two verses. We'll sing both of those, and we'll sing that verse one again, which is really like the chorus. Oh, go ahead. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Precious Lord, linger in here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit of God. As you do, you help us to stand. You lead us on. Lord, when we're weak, you make us strong. When we feel we can't go through the storm, you take us through the storm. You carry us through all these things. For by the Spirit of God, you are our standby. We thank you for your word that brings this out to us so clearly. Your word that speaks to every day of our lives, everything we face, all of our decisions, all of our joys, all of the trials. We find strength in your word. And so we do today, and I ask, Father, that you'd speak through me again by the power of your Spirit to those gathered here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to read in Acts chapter 27 this morning, starting in verse 13. So this is, I'm just going to give you a little background here so you know where we're at in the middle of this 27th chapter. If you'd go, Paul is a prisoner. He was in Caesarea Maritima, which is in the northern part of Israel, Galilee, right on the coast, of the Mediterranean Sea. Maritima means by the sea. Those of you that have been to Israel, you were there. I'm sure that's a big part. We were there, Caesarea Maritima. There's other Caesareas in the Bible, Caesarea Philippi. We were there too. But so Caesarea Maritima, by the Mediterranean Sea, Herod the Great had built this incredible palace for himself there, one of his vacation homes, and he had built this massive amphitheater all out of rock, stone, which large parts of it are still original from 2,000 years ago. It's massive. It'd be like if we take the side of this sanctuary and you picture an amphitheater curving around, it would be all of that big for sure, and almost as high as the ceiling. And then you look that way, and there's the flat part where it would have been the theater. They had plays and all that back then. So they knew how to make sound work without sound equipment. The acoustics were great. The sea was right there in the background. And so, like I said, there's large parts of it that are still original. Other parts they've rebuilt and reconstructed. He had a hippodrome there, where they raced horses. Some of you remember our pictures from Israel. Parts of that are still there. Some of it are underwater. So it was quite a place. And the Apostle Paul is in prison at Caesarea Maritima. And he has appealed to Caesar. Why is he in prison? For his faith. The Jewish religious leaders hate him because he was a Pharisee. He was part of them. And when God, the verse I read there in the offering, he was on the road to Damascus to kill Christians, and Jesus appears to him, the resurrected Christ. He knocks him off his horse, and he has this vision of Christ, and Jesus says, "You are a chosen vessel of mine, and you are going to preach the gospel to the Gentiles." Well, Paul was a very educated man, a very educated Jewish man, and so he was, it'd be like maybe if there was some well-known atheist today, and there have been, who gets saved, and all of a sudden now, instead of saying there is no God, now they're preaching Jesus. That's how this was Paul. So the Pharisees wanted him put to death. They had planned, they had him arrested. They had a plan. They asked the Roman leaders to transfer him through the night down to Jerusalem, back from Caesarea Maritima. The plan got found out because they were going to ambush him in that route and they were going to kill him. But God had greater plans for the Apostle Paul. So, we'll get to the scripture, okay? In all of this, see, Jesus, when in Matthew 10, Jesus even told his disciples then, He said, on my account, you are going to be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. When they arrest you, don't worry about what you say or how to say it. All that time, you will be given what to say. This still applies for us today. Wasn't just for those 12 men. You will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking. Here it is. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit of your Father will be speaking through you. So before we pick up where I'm going to start today, I want, if you look back, you'd start even in the 23rd chapter of Acts, if you want to read that later. Paul is actually gets to speak about Jesus before Governor Felix, who was the governor of that area. Then Governor Felix is gone, and there's another guy that comes in. Porcius Festus was his name. He gets to preach the gospel to him because, see, he was in prison there for 2 years at Caesarea Maritima. The King Agrippa and his wife Bernice even come to Caesarea Maritima to hear Apostle Paul tell about Jesus. So he's witnessing to all these high Roman officials. And the Jews, they still want him taken back to Jerusalem to try him, to put him to death. And Paul says, I appeal to Caesar. That's the emperor, the highest one of all the Roman emperor. I appeal to Caesar. And he was a Roman citizen. He had a right to do that. That's how he was going to get to Rome, because God wanted him in Rome. I know you're saying, where's our blanks? Well, here's one. It was a 2,000-mile journey from where he was at, Caesarea Maritima, across the Mediterranean Sea, up through the part of the Aegean Sea, over land and sea, 2,000 miles to get to Rome. You think that was an easy journey? No. Did he have the money for that journey? No. How's God going to provide? Through the Roman Empire. He's going to get him there at the expense of the Roman Empire. God does amazing things all the time, and he orchestrates things according to his will and plan. So, have we read the scripture yet? Guess we haven't. Acts chapter 27, verse 13 is where we're starting. 27 verse 13. Here we go. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Okay, they were actually, as I'm reading, they were a third of the way on this 2,000-mile journey by this island out in the Mediterranean Sea, the island of Crete. All right, going on, verse 14. Very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it, and we were driven along. As we passed by the side of a small island called Sauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. Let me pause for a second. Something else I should have told you. So again, he is a prisoner on this ship. There are 276 men on this ship that is going to Rome. So it's a good-sized ship, okay? Verse 18, we took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, here's the I told you so. I think us guys know, don't ever say that to your wives, okay? Ladies, probably not a good idea to say that to your husbands either. I told you so. Paul said it. Verse 21, he stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed." Here we go, verse 23. "Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, man, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" And then it goes on, but I'm going to stop there for this morning. So, okay, back to your outline there real quick. The work of the Holy Spirit, that's what we've been looking at this summer. As Ann went over with the kids, number one, we saw he's our counselor. Secondly, he's our comforter. Thirdly, he's our intercessor. He prays for us. He prays with us. He helps us to pray effectively as our intercessor. Today, he is our standby. As we read, Paul said, "The Lord, an angel of the Lord stood at my side." An angel of the God whom I serve. Paul, even though God wanted him there in Rome, and we got to know this, he was following God's perfect will. It was rough, very rough. Trials, persecutions. Remember, he was in prison. I probably say this often, but sometimes we think if we're doing God's will, it's just everything smooth sailing along. "Lord, I thought this is what you told me to do. Why am I having all these problems? I thought, I'm a young farmer just starting out." There's several of them. I don't know if there are too many here this morning, but just starting out in here, "God, I thought that I was supposed to be farming and we're in this midst of this big drought. Did I miss you?" Those are thoughts that come. "No, I don't think you missed him. Press on. Press through." I know it's easy for me to say. I'm not in the midst of that. But we're all together in this. We are. What do we find? We are taught and we learn to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit through these hard times. We are taught and learn to rely greater on his word through these hard times. He's our standby. So here they come, this island of Crete. Paul wanted them to winter there. And he told them that, if you'd read earlier, where I started this morning. And the captain of the ship and the other crew members, nope, we're not going to winter here. And he's telling them, it's not going to be good. "Oh, who are you? You're just a prisoner. You don't know anything." And so off they go. A northeaster is a storm with hurricane force winds. We all thank the Lord we don't have hurricanes here, but we see them along the coast. We hear of them moving in. One was called Earl, and what was the other one? There's another one building. But we know how long they can last. It's not just like a tornado does as much damage, but that's bam and it's through. Typically, a hurricane can be days in building and lasting. And so here they go. This the violent battering it talks about in 18. They throwing the cargo overboard. Verse 19, they throw the ship's tackle overboard. That's spare lines, miscellaneous equipment, things that they would need. Verse 20, it says they gave up all hope of being saved. Verse 21, they're a long time without food. Why? Probably because they're all very seasick, being tossed up and down and side to side on that ship. Some of us maybe get seasick under a lot less. When we were at Boston for our meetings, whatever years back, and we had a day early, went on that whale watching tour out into the ocean there, And I think we all had those little Dramamine patches behind our ears. So, and that wasn't even choppy or anything, you know. But you get that motion going. And here they were, 14 days without food, and an angel of the Lord appears to Paul and says, take courage. You're going to make it. I'm going to give you the whole crew. None of their lives will be lost. I'm standing by your side, okay? That was an angel, but the Holy Spirit works in many different ways in our lives. There's times, I know one here for sure, who has seen a couple angels. I've been told of other times where people have seen angels, and that's only as God allows, according to his will. Whether you see one or not, you know you got the Holy Spirit with you and in you, strengthening you through this. Two times he tells the whole crew, 276 of them, keep up your courage, men. Keep up your courage. They're like, we're all going to die. We're all going to drown. They had given up hope of being saved. Because last night, an angel of the God whose I am, he knew who he belonged to. And we all should know who we belong to, Almighty God. And he's got us, whatever the situation we're in. And whom I serve stood beside me. That's the phrase we're focusing on. So keep up your courage, man, for I have faith in God. It will happen just as he told me. So after Paul told him that, had the vision of the angel telling him that, did things get better? No, they actually got worse. It actually got worse. And what do we often, so we can think, I don't think God's hearing my prayers. Things are not getting better. Maybe you've said that. Maybe you've said it to the Lord. That's, if you're thinking it, it's all right to say it to him. But you look through the Psalms, and often the psalmist would say things like that. But if you pay attention when you're reading the Psalms, by the end of the Psalm, he usually got himself back on track and back focused on the greatness of God and his power and his might. So we have to do that. They end up getting shipwrecked, if you'd read on further. They end up landing on this island. The angel didn't tell him where the island was going to be. The angel just told him, you are going to run aground on an island. And the ship was battered so badly, it was totally destroyed. How are they going to get off that island? It was called Malta. You know what? God had plans for them on that island. First thing that happens, they're cold, they're wet, because they had to swim ashore. Earlier on, when it really got bad, there was a group of those men. Hey, you know what? Secretly, we're going to lower this lifeboat down. We're getting off this ship, and we are getting out of there, out of here. Because there was a bunch of prisoners on this boat. It wasn't just Paul as a prisoner. And Paul got wind of it, and he said to the captain, if you don't get those men right now back on this ship, everybody is going to die. Either we all stay together, and God's going to grant us safety, and we are all going to live, or if some think they're escaping, it's not going to happen. So they all swim to this island, Malta. They're cold, they're wet, probably some of them half drowned from it. They're hanging on to planks and boards and everything. And they get there and they build a fire. And the people of the island come, they see them coming. And this viper, a poisonous snake, Paul's got an armful of sticks and logs for the fire. It was in that pile, he doesn't know it. Latches onto his arm. And the island people know it's a poisonous snake, and they say, oh, he must be a prisoner because he's going to die. And he shakes it off. This is all if you'd read on. He shakes it off, and they're all watching him for the rest of the day. And he lives. And then they think he's a god because he lives from a poisonous snake bite. But Paul, they end up shipwrecked there for 3 months. Until that winter is past. The main leader of the island, his father is dying. Paul goes, lays hands on him, prays for him. The man is healed. After they see that miraculous healing, all bunches of people from around the island come, and there are miracles that God is doing over that 3 months that they're there. stood beside me and talked about it. That word in the Greek means, as she said, those were great examples, to be at hand, ready to assist. Another meaning, one available to help and be relied upon, especially in emergencies. Yes, it is. God stands beside us, maybe I didn't tell you letter A, in the midst of the storm. In the midst of the storm, he is there. If you'd read on in Acts 27, finally they get to Rome. Paul is a prisoner. The amazing thing about this time is he's there under house arrest the first time when he's in prison in Rome. That meant he got to have his own rented place. I'm sure it was simple. There was just a guard with him that entire time. 2 years. 2 whole years Paul stayed, chapter 27, verse 30, in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him and listen to what he did. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the message of the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the seat of the Roman Empire. And God wanted them to know the message of Jesus Christ. And he wanted to use Paul to do it. And so there he was. And we read on, I'm not going into that today, but in the letter of Romans, you can see there are some high up government officials in the Roman Empire who come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God had a plan. He stands beside us and with us in the midst of the storm. Secondly, letter B, when the end is near. When the end is near. I'm bringing this out because two times Paul uses this phrase that he stood beside me. The second time is in 2 Timothy, which is in the meditation part of your bulletin. And this is the last letter that God wrote through the Apostle Paul that we have in the Bible. We know in 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7, that can be a common verse for at someone's funeral, homegoing celebration. He said this, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure." He meant from this earth to heaven. "I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith." And he did. Through it all, he did. If we jump over to verse 16 of that fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, he said this, "At my first defense," remember this is his second Roman imprisonment, not under house arrest, this time it's rough. He has been the bottom of the cellar, probably in sewage, chained hands and feet, rats running over him and on him, I am sure, and who knows what all else of gross bugs. And it's rough. And he's writing to Timothy, who is a young minister, trying to encourage him. "At my first defense in this trial," where he's at, "no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me." He's just making that statement. But we all know who never deserts us, right? God. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit never deserts us. "May it not be held against them." What's he doing there? He's extending forgiveness to them. Here it goes. "But the Lord stood at my side." Same phrase as we read in Acts 27. He is our standby. "The Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth." That's just a metaphor there, as far as we know, but through all the torture that he went through for his faith in Christ. "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his kingdom." He's talking heaven now because he knew it was close. "To whom be glory forever and ever." You see his confidence, his faith, and his courage in Christ. In the midst of that, though everyone else had left him, God did not. As I was working through this, winding down here, my thoughts went to Ralph Hagee, and I'm not trying to glorify Ralph, but Calvin's son, Cassie's uncle. So Ralph went to heaven at 52 years of age, And he was just a year older than me in school. In high school, we played the trombone together in band. Passed away, it was January 29th of 2014. And he had wrote notes in October of that year about his funeral service. October 10th, I had the papers. He gave them to me. October 10th of 2013. I did not know that then. Of course, you know, I'm always praying, hoping for healing on this earth. But at my visit with him, my last lengthy visit was, I looked all back for this. It was the day after Christmas of that year, 2013, December 26th. And we talked about his funeral. That's sort of tough. He's only 52. And he gave me these papers that he had written up, desires for that day. And, sorry, I want to read part of it. I've maybe read this once before, but I certainly did at the funeral. But it fits in to what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit and his work in our lives and all that he does for us. This is what he said. This is a part of it. I enjoyed a life in Christ in which he never let me down. A life with Christ that was my dearest and most precious blessing. From the age of 12, when in no uncertain terms, I felt the Holy Spirit convicting me of my need for Christ. And a simple response of surrender prayed in return, inviting Christ to be my Lord and Master. Over my lifetime, ever since that day, he has proved over and over again to be my spiritual anchor in a sea of life that was punctuated with pain, sadness, and many other difficult storms. And the cancer was in his jaw and mouth area. He suffered a lot physically for a while. But my life is a testimony that the anchor holds. And that anchor is Jesus Christ. Amen. The anchor holds. The anchor holds. And that just so blessed me, and it still does obviously today, as he would write that knowing that his end was coming. He knew probably that it wasn't going to be a healing naturally in his physical body. And his faith only grew stronger in the midst of all that, the storm. Other things I'm not going to go into, other storms that I'm aware of, and I know the family is too. So in the midst of storms, Paul could say that too. Last night an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me. Told that to those men. I'm sure, I bet a bunch of those men on that ship got saved, if not all of them. They were there to witness all those miracles on the island of Malta for 3 months. I can't imagine how they didn't. To Timothy, the Lord stood at my side, he said, and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. How did Paul die? Scripture doesn't tell us. An early church historian named Eusebius, so we take this, it probably was this way, says that Paul was beheaded by the emperor. That would be Caesar, the emperor. And his name at that time was Nero. Most all heard of Nero. He was about as wicked as they could come. The stories are told, written. He, in his big, beautiful gardens there in Rome, he would take Christians, cover them in tar and sap, whatever, that was flammable, cover them in them, impale them on a post, put them around the garden and light them on fire for the torches at night. Can you imagine? Number one, the stench. He had to be demon-possessed, that man. So how did he die? It's believed that he was beheaded. Beheaded for the sake of Christ. But God stands with us. And Paul kept the faith in the midst of it all. I highly doubt any one of us has felt persecution that Paul faced towards any degree. We don't know what lies ahead. We have to stand firm for Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for such examples in Scripture as the Apostle Paul, for examples of people that we know. And I could go on all day of wonderful examples of faith here within this congregation, in this community. Lord, to you be all the glory. Thank you for giving us strength by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for standing by our side in the midst of those trials and storms of life. You never fail us. And we can have the assurance of our salvation that does not come because of anything we have done. None of our works. For Lord, your word tells us that all of our own righteousness is as filthy rags. It stinks. But thank you for clothing us in your righteousness, Lord Jesus. For causing us to be in right standing with you. That we can sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And we can walk in that confidence every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And that is our closing hymn. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. 572. Let's stand as we sing that, please.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now first. This is my story.
Please receive the benediction. And now, may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. As a prayer for our nation, we will sing, God Bless America. Be seated. Have a wonderful day and Labor Day weekend. And remember, Sunday school 9:15, church 10:30, potluck dinner. Thanks, Cindy, for the music.